Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never refer to the metal nature that them hoteps, the father of medicine.
Greetings, family. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Food for Medicine. I am one half of your host, Kenya Jones, and I'm going to go ahead and bring in my sister, Dr. Astivi Adiro. Are you there, my sister?
Yep, I'm here. Peace, family.
Greetings. And thanks, all of you who are joining us for the first time. If you are not familiar with us, I'll go ahead and run down, you know, what we do here. But we are here every Friday at 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So you can check us out. We do have archives if you want to check out our old shows. Just, you know, see what we do here. But normally, my sister, Dr. Phoebe, she normally comes in and bring in a host of information every week. But I am Kenya Jones, for those who is not, you know, familiar with who I am, and I am a nutritionist and herbalist. And my sister, Phoebe, can you go ahead and introduce the family and let them know who you are and what do you do?
Sure. So welcome everyone who has been with the Dynasty family and those who are new. Well, welcome again to the old members, but welcome to the new members of the Dynasty family. So my name is Dr. Phoebe Adiro. I'm a naturopathic doctor, which means that I use, I'm a primary care physician, and I use holistic therapies like hydrotherapy, acupuncture, and my passion is using diet, nutrition, and herbs in order to bring the body back into balance. And in my opinion, if your diet is messed up, then pretty much any other therapy you do on top of that is not going to be as effective. So me and my sister bring you the information today, and we got another hot one, got another hot topic.
And the topic for today, you know, is food for elders. And I know a lot of people who is listening, and, you know, if they're not an elder, they know someone who's elderly or, you know, older. And not even that, because I know whatever information you bring, I can utilize as well, even though I'm not, you know, older as of yet. But today we'll be covering foods that assist the body in aging gracefully, which I would love to do, as well as diet guidelines for caring for elders with degenerative conditions. So before we actually get into why you thought of such a wonderful topic or what brought you to presenting this topic, I wanted to let the family know the premise of the show. And the premise for Food for Medicine is to enlighten African people on how it's an alternative to medicine, but to use it as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Ashe.
Ashe.
Wow. Now, I do want to ask you what actually brought you to, you know, bringing this topic today, especially with the aging gracefully.
Right. Yes. So I actually had thought about this for a while, not like just having the topic on the show, but just like I always think about ways that we can help our elders, because I want to say just over the beginning of this year, this new year, there's been a lot of elders that have passed. You know, we've lost a lot of great scholars, you know, quote-unquote celebrities and things have passed, kind of just been dropping left and right, that, you know, black celebrities. And I was just like, you know, especially with the scholars that have passed, like Dr. Ben and Bobby Hannibal died like a couple of years ago, I think. And, you know, just looking at them and seeing the way that they died and the conditions that, you know, they were in, like, you know, some of them died in nursing homes. And this goes for people that didn't die recently, but just in general, you know, people died alone,
right.
You know, Tata Fukiao, Baba Bunseki Fukiao, he, you know, died in a nursing home. Same thing with Baba Ben. So
yes.
It's like, why, you know, first off, the fact that they had to die in those places is a whole different situation.
Yes, I
could do a whole nother show about that, especially when they have so many quote unquote followers and people look at them as these master teachers and blah blah this, and I'm like, okay, where were we when they needed us the most? You know, when they were in these nursing homes, like we couldn't have ground something together to put them in a better condition. But, you know, like I said, I ain't even go off into that. Other than that, the diseases that a lot of them were dying from, like some of them had like dementia in their old age, some of them had these nutritional deficiencies, and just, you know, I feel that those could have been caught early if we as a collective were monitoring them with the kind of eye that could say, okay, maybe we need to change some things in their diet, maybe change some things, you know, with their physical activity, whatever, you know, hook them up with somebody who is holistic or somebody that can better provide them with the things they need so that they can have a better quality of life into their old age. They don't have to die, you know, miserable and in these, you know, in the care of these other people. So, you know, I thought about that for like a while. So today I wanted to do this topic because collectively we have to be able to do this. We have to keep an eye on our elders. And even those of you who are considered elders that are listening or know people who are quote-unquote elders, not everybody is all run down and sick in their old age. But even to those people, the earlier that we make the changes in our diet, you know, in our lifestyles, the better chance we have of not aging into a degenerative state, the better chance that we have of aging gracefully and being vibrant and spry and mentally functioning when we're older. So for those of you who are not dealing with any of those kinds of sicknesses and conditions that unfortunately affect a lot of our elders in their old age, if you don't have that going on, this is the perfect time, if you're not already doing so, to add and to incorporate things into your diet and lifestyle that will maintain your vibrance as you continue to age. So, you know, and there are plenty of examples for us that I'm going to talk about too. But, yeah, but, you know, without going off, you know, onto another tangent, that's pretty much what inspired me, just finally doing it, you know, because I've been thinking about it for a long time. I think it's important for us to talk about this and implement it into our lives, whether it be for an elder scholar or a person that is in the community that's doing the work that we love them for, or if it's just a family member. You know, we all have to make sure that we have a hand on our elders because they've been there before us. They're helping us
do the
work that we've been doing. So we have to make sure we take care of them, you know. So that's why I wanted to do the show. Yes. Yes.
And I'm so happy you're doing the show. And for those of you who are listening, I hope you have your pen and pad to take notes, as I suggest every week, because the show is always packed full of information, valuable information that you can also use for yourself or pass along. I know Sis is ready to get in there, and I'm ready to listen and, you know, take some notes and see what I can incorporate into my diet today to help me.
Right.
Along with, you know, especially aging gracefully. So I'm going to go ahead and let you do your thing.
Yes. Okay. So, pretty much what today's talk is going to be focusing on is, of course, the diet, you know, and the foods, but also I'm going to kind of talk about, I'm going to give like some background on to some populations that we have in our culture throughout, you know, the diaspora that are examples of, you know, doing the things that I'm talking about. So just, you know, look out for that as I'm speaking. Now, the first thing that I have on my list as far as using the diet to encourage healthful, natural aging without, you know, complications that are quote-unquote related to age. And that's one thing I do want to mention. These age-related diseases that we've been conditioned to believe exist. I'm not saying that you don't get certain health concerns when you age, but the things that are being associated with age, like the diabetes and the degenerative joint diseases and the eyesight problems, hearing problems, things of that nature, and there are much more that I could name. But these things do not have to happen when you age. And I know those of you who are, you know, in the older or the elder years who are listening, you know this. If you know that you're, you know, not experiencing these problems, you're like, what would they mean that, you know, I have to have these problems? But a lot of it happens is because basically it's an accumulation of not doing the most optimal things with our diet. So, yes, it was cool when you were young, but then when you get older, you have years and years worth of that accumulation, and now it's called an age-related disease because, unfortunately, most of us are doing it, and it becomes a trend in the society. And it's not necessarily something that's natural. It's just something that is a trend based on the common diet of the society. So, yes, everybody's getting these conditions when they after a certain age. And so people just kind of believe that that is the way that they should age, but that's not true. And we can look at many different societies in, you know, in African countries, in Caribbean countries, other countries that are outside of this country, and even people who are living more of a traditional lifestyle that live here, we can see them not manifesting these problems when they get older. So, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute, that I have on my list that are going to support us as we age. First thing is antioxidant-rich foods. You know, first off, antioxidants, I've done like a few shows where I do talk about antioxidants and the importance of antioxidants in our diet. And for those of you who haven't heard me talk about antioxidants are basically what the name says. It is an antioxidant. Free radicals in our environment and other chemicals and toxins and things of that nature, they affect the cells by oxidizing them. Cell oxidation is actually the cause, or I should say it is what happens when cells degenerate, and this is what causes them to age. So antioxidants are those constituents or those nutrients within our food that block or that stop that from happening. So this is why antioxidants are so important, because the oxidants are the direct cause of aging of the cells. You want to consume food that protects the cells and the tissues that they make up from that. So think of our antioxidant-rich foods. So berries, of course. And then, of course, all of the vibrantly colored, even the darker colored fruits and vegetables, those are going to be the ones that consist of the most antioxidants. So berries, blackberries, blueberries, raspberries, elderberries, you name it, any kind of berry, goji berries, they all are going to contain rich sources of antioxidants. Also, you know, our fruits, you know, our vibrantly colored fruits like oranges and what else? Even like vegetable fruits like bell pepper and papaya, banana, you know, you name it. All fruits and vegetables are going to contain some kind of antioxidants because the colors will tell you that they consist of these things. So I recommend that everybody eat an antioxidant-rich diet. All of us should, but especially if you are up in age, you should be more conscious of this because your body has had more time to accumulate the same toxins that all of us are exposed to. So you are more susceptible than, say, a younger person to to cell degeneration or tissue degeneration because of that. So just make sure that you're eating a lot of fresh and not cooked, even though, you know, it's fine if you want to cook your food, but just know that the antioxidants, because they are water-soluble for the most part, they are flavonoids that are more sensitive to heat, that when you do cook a lot of fruits and vegetables, even though some of them will maintain, a lot of them will be denatured and they will be deactivated by the cooking process. So it's important to eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. And this is a big part of getting a lot of antioxidants. So eating fresh berries, eating fresh salads, eating fresh, eating smoothies with fresh fruits and vegetables in them. Juices are a great way to get a big boost of antioxidants. So if you don't have a juicer, then either you can go out to a juice bar or a place that has a juice bar and get juice, or I would recommend you buying your own because it's way more economical. So antioxidant-rich foods rich in antioxidants, very, very important when it comes to aging gracefully, protecting the body from those free radicals and those environmental toxins. The next thing onto that, speaking of free radicals and environmental toxins, the best way, or one of the best ways to protect the body from environmental toxins, is to buy organic or to buy locally, even if it's not organic, because there are many small farmers or even like foreign markets where they don't actually have the organic seal because they can't afford the certified label. But they are practicing organic farming, an organic farming style. So just make sure you ask. You know, you ask about the sources of your foods when you're buying produce and things of that nature. So, but, you know, of course, the most immediate thing you can do, the most readily available, is to look for organic labeling on your produce. But what buying organic does is it helps you to monitor the chemicals and the pesticides, herbicides and things that could have potentially been used on your produce. Because remember, when you take those things in, they're just going to create oxidants, those things that oxidize cells, those things that harm cells and tissues and create degeneration. And then over time, when you're eating that way, you're just going to create potential problems in different body systems. So buying organic helps you to control the amount of those things that are coming into your house through the food that you're buying. Some other things you can do with buying organic, or just to help you with buying organic, is to go on this website called the Environmental Working Group. And they have a list. You can even Google this. They have a list called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And that list has gotten longer. Both of those lists have gotten longer. They've already omitted some and added others, you know. So it's probably like the Dirty, I don't know if it's the Dirty Dozen plus 4 or plus 8, whatever. There's like the Clean 15 plus, you know, a certain number that they've added. So we're focusing on the Dirty Dozen. The Dirty Dozen on the list. So if you go on the Environmental Working Group, which is EWG.org, if you go to that website, the Dirty Dozen list will show you the top 12 most likely fruits and vegetables to have been sprayed with some kind of chemical, like a pesticide or herbicide or what have you, or just not have been raised in organic, helpful farming conditions. So what you do is when you take that list, you look at it and you see what fruits and vegetables must, if I'm going to bring it to my home, must I purchase organic? Because if I don't, I know 90% of the time it's going to have some chemicals on it. And I can tell you off the top of my head from, you know, the last time that I looked at it, apples are definitely up there, tomatoes. All berries are usually sprayed. I would say like over 90% of the time, you know, berries are sprayed. And the reason for this is because of the susceptibility of these fruits and vegetables to bugs, to bug contamination and different plant diseases and things of that nature. So those on that Dirty Dozen list, you must buy organic because if you don't, you're definitely going to be exposed to chemicals. Now, in the Clean 15, these are a list of fruits and vegetables that you have a better chance of not being exposed to those those farm chemicals if you don't buy them organic. So, for example, I believe avocados were on there. What else was on that list? I can't think off the top of my head. But if you look at that list, and the reason that I can't remember is because I buy everything organic. So it doesn't really matter. Some stuff I don't buy organic, like especially if I'm not eating the skin of the vegetable or the fruit. For example, bananas, I don't usually buy organic because I'm not eating the skin. And so, but the fruits and vegetables that are on that Clean 15, you can get away with not buying them organic. So just take a look at that. And I'll actually try to pull it up here while I'm talking about it. And what that does is that when you go shopping, you take that list with you and you make sure that you are being conscious about what you're buying organic and what you don't have to buy organic. And then you can even, you know, I know some, I've had some patients just be like, you know, I'm just not going to, I mean, because maybe the, based on the their economics or based on what's available for them, they're like, you know what, I'm just, I don't want to have to worry about it. I'm not going to buy any of these things that are on the Dirty Dozen list. Okay, so on the Clean 15 list, these are some of the fruits and vegetables that they have. So onions are on the Clean 15, avocado, pineapple, mango, sweet peas, eggplant, cauliflower, asparagus, kiwi, cabbage, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potatoes, and honeydew melon. That's just to name a few. Now, there's many other fruits and vegetables that don't that aren't as tampered with as what's on the Dirty Dozen, but, you know, that's just a guideline for you. Now, let me read what is on the Dirty Dozen of foods that you should absolutely buy organic if you are able. So apples is number one on the list. They are heavily sprayed with herbicides and pesticides because in the farming practices, they are just really susceptible to infestation. Celery is on the Dirty Dozen. Tomatoes, cucumbers, grapes, nectarines, peaches, potatoes, spinach, blueberries, and any kind of berry. They only put strawberries and blueberries on here, but any berry, I would recommend that you buy organic. Sweet bell peppers is the last on the list. And also green beans and kale, they say, are moving up on the most sprayed list as well. So, you know, this might be an older list that I've pulled up, but I know for sure that they did add kale to one that I've looked at. And green beans is a second that they might add. So definitely go online and get that list so that you can utilize it when you go shopping to avoid getting those nasty chemicals in your body that is going to hinder you from aging gracefully. Now, added on to that, now that we're going to the store and we're buying food for not having chemicals in it that is going to accumulate in our bodies and degenerate the system, making it to where we're going to, you know, age in a not as beneficial way, the next thing that we can do is to control the making, the manufacture of the foods that we're putting together, our meals. And you do that by making your meals at home. Staying away from refined and prepackaged foods will just help you not only to avoid the toxins we're talking about, they will also give you freedom to add as many of those healthful foods rich in antioxidants, rich in vitamins, minerals that you need to support the maturing body that you have. So, for example, you know, you could go, there's a lot of, and I've seen this in my own community, in my own family, you know, people who maybe get up in age, they're not wanting to, you know, maybe cook as much, or maybe, you know, if you're trying to lose weight and things like that, people will go for these TV dinners, people will go for these foods that are prepackaged for, like, Weight Watchers or that are supposedly, you know, these foods that are marketed to the elder community, Ensure and things like that, these balancing shakes and things of that nature, all of these glucosamine drinks and all that, they market these things to our people, to the elders in our community as, you know, helping them save on time, you know, helping them with, you know, certain programs, weight loss, sugar balance, you know, joint health and all this stuff. But in actuality, they're very detrimental to their health. They're filled with different chemicals, preservatives and additives and all these things that do not support the aging body. So it's pretty much lies that they tell when they're saying that these are supposed to be conducive to your healthfulness. So the way that you counter that is by making your own food, you know, making your own joint nourishing drink or juice, making your own sugar balancing meal, you know, something that it has that is rich in fiber, that's rich in antioxidants, rich in healthy fats and protein, so that you can be supported in your health goals. But the prepackaged foods and the, you know, the highly refined foods especially, and this is just, you know, that's not health food at all. We're talking about refined foods. We're talking about the sugars and the starches, you know, all of those things, and the refined salts, you know, the white flours and things of that nature, things made with that, those are all going to cause inflammation in the body. They're all going to cause leaching of minerals and nutrients, vitamins, that the body needs, even more so when the body is becoming older. So if you're consuming highly refined foods in the form of pastries, snacks, candy, sugar, you know, whether it be soda, juices, white bread, you know, all of that is going to just contribute to the degeneration of the body. You want to remove those things from your diet and then replace them with healthful alternatives to that. So instead of buying the refined white flour, buy alkaline ancient grain flours like kamut flour, spelt flour, you know, quinoa flour, coconut flour. You can even get whole grain, whole ancient grain versions of some of those products made with those flours. So, like, you can get quinoa pasta, kamut pasta. You can get breads made from spelt and things like that. So you don't have to, you know, succumb to the mass-produced and the refined products that are available. You know, you can always find alternatives that are more healthy. So, and then especially for our people who are caring for elders that may have a degenerative condition and maybe they can't care for themselves, or somebody that you're watching and monitoring to make sure that they don't go into a more degenerative state, you can absolutely add these foods into their diets, because not only will it help to keep them from going any further into their conditions, but it will help the body into balance, and it can help with their healing as well. So just be conscious of that. Make your own meals at home, because you can add as many of those healthful foods that assist in graceful aging. Also, I mentioned an example of making an alternative to the starches. I want to also talk about the sugar. I have to talk about the refined sugar, because that's one of the killers in our communities, just leading to so many different health conditions in our elder population. And people are getting younger and younger with the effects of refined sugar products in our communities. So refined sugar products include, of course, white table sugar or beet sugar, any kinds of syrups, whether it be, you know, like the maple syrup. Agave is horrible. I can't say it enough that agave, even for people who think that it's a healthful alternative, it really isn't, because it is still something that had to be very highly refined. You take the cactus, the agave cactus, which grows wild out here in Arizona. I see it everywhere. And they have to boil it down so much that it becomes this syrup. Like, the sap that is in the fruit or that's in the plant is like a clear liquid, but they have to boil it down. The same thing with maple syrup. They have to take the maple sap and boil it down so much and get all that moisture out that eventually some of that sugar becomes cooked and it crystallizes and then it becomes a syrup. So that is extremely, extremely refined. And then, you know, when the Mexicans do it out here, it's not as bad because they boil it, you know, one time they get the syrup and then they're good. It's not even as sweet as the agave you get in the store. But the agave that you get in the store that's been, you know, filtered and it's been, you know, it's been boiled several times, you know, it's been refined several times and distilled and all of that to get it clear and crisp looking so that it can be aesthetically appeasing to people. It just makes it this substance that's devoid of nutrients now, but it's sweet and people like it and it's not sugar, so they can market it as a health food alternative. So, but it's really not. It's so high in fructose, which is a fruit sugar. It comes from plants, but not in the natural amounts that it would occur if it was in the whole plant. So because of that, this excess fructose that is not normal to the body, it causes such a spike in insulin that it's crazy. And anytime you get spikes in insulin, you get a storage reaction to the body. The body wants to store all this excess energy that's not being utilized, and that causes fat accumulation. It causes inflammation, and then of course all the complications that arise after those mechanisms have been put into place. You know, people are susceptible to plaque formation in the arteries. Over time, if this situation is not dealt with, you can create an insulin resistance problem. And your blood sugar balance is just basically just off kilter, and you don't want that at all, especially if you are somebody who is older. You don't need any problems with blood sugar because now you're more susceptible than a young person to the complications of it. So with that being said, the syrups you should probably just get out of. You should just get out of your diet. Healthful sweetener options include stevia. Of course, you should use it sparingly because it's very strong tasting if you use too much of it, and you will know when you've used too much of it. You can another potential sweetener alternative would be honey. And honey can be problematic for people who already have blood sugar problems, but raw honey has not been cooked. It hasn't been highly refined. It's sweet like it has been, but it hasn't. It's just been made by the bees one time, and then, you know, that's it. Now, if you're a strict vegan, you don't want to eat honey because it's not a vegan, you know, it's not a vegan food to eat. But stevia would be a good choice. Also, you can use natural fruit juices, so you can juice like apples, grapes, things of that nature, and then you can use that to sweeten fruits. And my favorite way of sweetening foods is dates. Dates and any other dried like fruit, like raisins, currants, but dates are my absolute favorite. I use dates in pretty much everything, smoothies, when I make, you know, desserts and things like that. I even have found date sugar in places, which is basically they just dry the dates and they pulverize them into a powder. Now, don't put date sugar in your tea or something that you need the sugar to dissolve, because date sugar will not dissolve. It'll just kind of be like rehydrated dates at the bottom of your teacup or whatever it is. So only use date sugar in foods that you're not needing the sugar to dissolve. But if you need the sugar to dissolve, I would say stevia or use like the honey, like a little bit of the honey. But again, if you have problems with blood sugar, don't use the honey. I would say dates are even better for those people who are dealing with blood sugar problems. Listen to your body, see if your body can handle it, and then if all else fails, use stevia sparingly. Now, I recommend for the sugar aspect, for the sweetening aspect with stevia, use the whole leaf. Go to an herb store or go online and find natural stevia leaf, which is green. It's not white. It's not clear. You know, it doesn't taste like lemon and all this other stuff. But it is a plant that you can put, you can grind with a coffee grinder, or you can find the whole leaf powdered, and then you can use that to sweeten different foods. So those are just a couple examples. And you can actually find those products on my website. I actually have a community marketplace now to where you can go on there and find different, not just herbs in my herb store, but also supplements, things that, you know, I don't necessarily make but that other people carry that I've researched, and they have good products that people can use. And I do have some stevia products on there. I do have some, I believe I do have a source for stevia on there. So just go and search and look around and see if you can find what you need. Now, so refined foods, processed foods, packaged foods, you really want to stay away from that when we are on a mission to age gracefully. Make your own food at home and make it healthful and full of those nourishing components that will assist your body. Now, the next thing on my list that I have is that your diet, from my own research that I've seen, is that it should consist 80% of plant-based foods. So the other 20% is going to then be, you know, things that are not plant-based, so those animal products or, you know, whatever you want it to be. So, but at least 80%. And the reason that I say that is because what studies have shown that I have researched myself is that populations where the, you know, the old, just populations in general, but of course, you know, we're talking about the elder population, but the populations that have had the people who are living the longest and into their old age are those populations that are having a large part of their diet coming from plants. And what they've seen in these studies is that the elders in these communities are having a more active life with fewer to no age, what we call age-related complications. So this type of diet, basically what's happened is that it is affording the person with the nutrients necessary to support a long and vibrant life. You know, you are what you eat. If you eat life, you'll get life. If you eat death, you know, then you're going to get just that. So, like I said, the other 20% of the diet in these populations, and a lot of these populations I studied were in Africa or in the African diaspora, you know, in like the Caribbean and where other black people are in other parts of the world, like southern India or I should say Southeast Asia, you know, the Polynesian Islands, things of that nature. These people are, their diet, the last 20% of their diet is usually, you know, it consists of some animal products, you know, less than 20% in some of them, you know, so that means seafood, beef, chicken, you know, maybe dairy. A lot of cultures don't even eat dairy. So dairy was very minimal, if not used at all, in a lot of traditional societies. But that's made up only 20% or less of the diet. So why is this? Why is it that, you know, populations that consume little to no meat, you know, and a very high plant-based diet, why are they aging more gracefully, you know? Well, what happens is that animal proteins take up a lot of energy from the body to metabolize. And I've talked about this on other shows as well. And I actually have a whole show about, you know, should people be eating meat and animal food and animal products effects on the body. I have a whole show. You can look in the archives and find that show where I talk about it. But because animal proteins take a lot of energy from the body to metabolize, the result of this is that many of these proteins go incompletely digested in our body. And what happens is when you have anything, whether it be animal protein or whatever, that is incompletely digested, it causes an inflammatory reaction in the body. And not only does it cause, well, the reason that the body has an inflammatory reaction is because anything that gets through into the bloodstream, into the lymph, you know, into the tissues that shouldn't be there in that form, or if it's a pathogen, or if it's a parasite, whatever it is. So a protein that's undigested is going to be looked at by the body as a foreign particle. So anytime you get foreigners in the body doesn't play. It said, oh, this is not self, this shouldn't be here, so it will attack it. And anytime the body starts utilizing the immune system to attack something and to get something out of the body, you get inflammation. That's just a part of the natural balance of the body. Inflammation is not bad. We need inflammation so that we don't get sick all the time. People that don't have a good inflammatory response, they get sick more often. So anytime you bump your knee or you get a virus or a bacteria, you get scratchy throat, you get, you know, watery eyes, runny nose, you know, you get a pain, you get redness, you get swelling. That's all inflammation, and that's necessary for healing to occur. Now, the bad side of that is if you are constantly putting these proteins into the body that are not being completely digested, you're going to have this inflammation happening all the time. It's not going to just happen and then stop. It's going to be a constant inflammatory reaction. And that, the same way that stress constantly starts to deteriorate the body, the same thing happens when inflammation is constantly being activated in the body. It starts to deteriorate the body. The body is just constantly under this hypersensitive state, and eventually havoc is going to break loose. So what different conditions happen based on inflammation in the body. You know, you can get pain. Inflammatory complexes can accumulate in the joint, and then what do you get? Joint pain. We see a lot of that in our elder communities. If inflammatory complexes accumulate in the digestive system, you can get digestive disturbances, Crohn's, you know, irritable bowel diseases, you know, polyps, tumors in the digestive system. If you have too much inflammation in the brain, what happens to the brain? Dementia, Alzheimer's, you know, different neurodegenerative diseases can happen in there. So just so you see where I'm going with how, no matter what the the cause is stemming from the same source. It's just that one person gets Alzheimer's, another person will get, you know, arthritis. You know, so just look at that as being the root cause. So now we have, you know, what's happening here is that not only do we have inflammation, but these undigested proteins don't just get thrown into the digestive system and eliminated through, you know, bowel movements and things. Because they've been undigested, they're going to stick around in the body, and they're going to accumulate. And this is what we call metabolic waste, because they've been partially metabolized but not fully. So now you have metabolic waste that are just going to continue to accumulate in the tissue. Now, this accumulation of waste in the tissues contributes also to the age-related degeneration of the different tissues. Which is why, and it's for this reason that why a person can have meat in their diet, and they, you know, been eating meat their whole lives. They ate it when they were young, and they were fine when they were young. They were vibrant, they were healthy, they could run from sunup to sundown. But when they get older, and they're still eating the same diet, now that those toxins have had a chance to build up for 10, 20, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, now we're getting the breakdown. We're getting the degeneration of the joint because the toxins have accumulated there. We're getting the degeneration of the eyes, the cardiovascular system, the nervous system, the brain, blood sugar is off, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of that is just accumulation of toxins in those respective tissues. So now, like I said, we associate these things with, I'm just getting older. You know, that's what happens when you get old. You know, your eyes go bad, your joints get bad. No, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't. That is not the natural way to age. Many people live well into their, you know, in their 80s, 90s, even hundreds without any of these complications. You know, and this is largely due to their diet. You know, their diet not consisting of the food that offends cell regeneration and longevity. Meat being a small part of the diet or non-existent in the diets of these people plays a very key role in this. So let's look at our ancestors, okay? Because I always like to look at how our, you know, ancient elders, you know, people, and then, of course, the people who are living more closely to those ancient or those traditions, you know, how were their diets, you know, which if we do look at them, even if they contained meat or dairy products, it was only used sparingly, you know. And we can see this in the diet of Africans in America. You know, they were only used for seasoning. They were only used, you know, or they comprised only a fraction of the meal. everybody wasn't getting a piece of meat to themselves, if anybody even saw meat, you know. You can see this in, like, you know, the traditional Southern dishes or just traditional African American dishes where they're just using a piece of salt pork to season a pot of greens, a big pot of greens. You may not see that salt pork at all during the meal, but it just seasons the dish. Or you may see a couple pieces of shrimp in an okra soup, you know, or like in a peanut soup, they may use the powder of a crayfish, or they may use, you know, the broth of something, not even the meat. So you're using very little animal products. And then even when they are being used, seasoned dishes, people are not eating animal products every day. And this is, you know, when you look at traditional African dishes, there are many, many vegetarian dishes that are traditionally made, and they don't have any meat in it at all. And a lot of this has to do with spiritual observances, to where you are, it's taboo to even consume flesh on certain days. You know, you're supposed, and then on some days, you know, you're fasting off of a lot of foods. So just look at how we traditionally ate things compared to how we eat them now. Look at the health of people back then and look at the health of people now. We're eating, I'll even say, cases where animal products were consumed every day. It was usually, this is usually a newer phenomenon in our history. The wealthy, you know, of course, with the advent of people, of other people coming into our societies and kind of we adopting the eating practices and habits of other people, like European populations, Arab populations that came into our communities that were eating more meat, which is their culture, and that's fine. But as far as our culture, we weren't eating meat the way that other people were. But because we associated the wealthy with being able to afford to eat meat, you saw the wealthy in African society eat more meat. And now you start seeing the wealthy getting those diseases associated with a society eating more animal products. So things like cardiovascular disease would be more prevalent, obesity would be more prevalent, and people getting these, you know, joint diseases, tooth decay, all kinds of things. You name it, all related to the change in the diet. Not only was it meat, but it was also like a refined grain products and things of that nature being introduced to the diet as well, refined sugar products, all of those things, alcohol, all those things contributed to it. But meat for sure was something that changed drastically, the meat consumption. And as the, I guess, the hierarchy of the society changed, you saw the wealthy getting those diseases of excess. And then you see the quote-unquote common population or the, you know, the regular folks. You know, people would live into their 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, they're still fit and spry mentally and physically, you know, able to work with everybody else, doing the agriculture, doing the manual labor, and they were good, you know, dying in their sleep peacefully. So, or by accident, you know, by something that happened that was unexpected. But, you know, people were not dying from the same things that we're dying from now as far as these diseases of excess, like diabetes and cardiovascular disease and autoimmune diseases and things like that. Those came much later in our history because our diets were more sound as far as nutrition and as far as not consisting of things that we knew wasn't something that we were supposed to consume. So I would recommend, you know, avoiding or consuming. And this is for people who want to age gracefully, of course, you know, avoid altogether or just consume less meat each day or skipping a day or more in between the times when you eat meat. And then you'll notice, just notice and monitor yourself in between the times when you're not eating the meat. For example, we have many different examples of people who are consuming, or I should say we have many examples of brothers and sisters who are aging beautifully, gracefully, and who are following pretty much all the things that I've been talking about. For example, you can look at, what is that sister's name? Larkin, Annette Larkin. Look at her. Beautiful sister, beautiful. She is, I think, in her 70s still. She's in her 70s. I want to say I don't know the exact number, but I know that she is in her 70s and maybe in her 80s, and she is looking like she's not a day over 40. She looks awesome. And if you listen to her diet change and what she ascribes to her youthful appearance and to her good health, she talks about consuming a plant-based diet as being the key. They call it, I've seen the interview, I think the interview is called, like, Annette Larkins finds her fountain of youth, you know, that kind of thing. And that's really what it is. You know, she ascribes to eating a plant-based diet. And not only is her diet plant-based, she is also close to 100% raw vegan, you know, raw plant-based or living food diet. So a lot of her meals consist of smoothies. She likes doing a lot of juices. I've seen her just be making, she makes like jars of juices, and that's my sister, because that's how I do my juice too. So I'm like, oh, look, I'm following somebody else's footsteps that's already done been there. She good, and she beautiful. That's how I want to age too. But, you know, I like to make big, unnecessarily jars also. And sometimes that's all I eat, you know, it's just, or consume that big juice. But that's what she does. She eats a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables every single day. And then, of course, she engages in regular, moderate physical activity. She's not doing P90X, you know. She ain't doing no crazy workouts that are unnatural. Annette Larkins walks. She walks every day. And that's what our bodies were built to do. Very simple. She walks a lot. She may walk up the stairs. She may do some kind of reclined step, you know, on her treadmill at home if she wants to get a little resistance. But for the most part, she walks, and she eats good. That's what she does to keep herself healthy. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because it really shows you, it's a good example. It's better than me telling you, I think. It's a good example of how diet is like 90% of your health. And it is 90% of what will allow you to age naturally and gracefully. You know, and you don't have to do a whole bunch of crazy working out. You can if you want to, if that's within your fitness level, and you can do P90X and you're 80, 90 years old, fabulous, you know. If you want to power lift, great. But I assure you that if your diet is supportive with the nutrients and things you need, it will make your workout even better. But you don't have to do that. If your diet is good, everything else will kind of fall into place. And all you really need to do is just make sure that you are doing some kind of, you know, rhythmic, natural physical activity daily, and you're good. Let's see. And some other people, just for some more inspiration to some of you guys out there, for people who are in our community, brothers, sisters, that are great examples of our people aging gracefully and naturally on these predominantly plant-based diets. You know, I'm going to give you a few examples of people who are doing that. So Queen Afua is one. She's, of course, you know, first on my list because she is one of my favorite, you know, elders who I get a lot of my information from, and she practices what she preaches. So Queen Afua is beautiful. I think she just cut off all her locks, and she looks awesome. Like, she looks like a warrior queen goddess without her locks. You know, and her head, you know, her head is cute with the little shortcut. But Queen Afua, beautiful, vegan, you know, great testament to somebody who is utilizing her diet as a part of a healthful, you know, as a part of her being able to do the work that she's doing and have the energy to do it, because she is giving herself what she needs. Also, Dr. Sabi. Dr. Sabi will show you every lecture that you go to that he can drop on his knees from jumping off into the air, you know, and he is still very, very, very fertile. Like, I think the last time that I saw him speak, he had like a 3-month-old or a few month old, so that man is still having babies. Now, you can judge him how you want to. I would say not to, but somebody is helping Dr. Sabi to make more Dr. Sabis, so he's able to do that. How many brothers over 80, like Dr. Sabi is, can say that they can keep up with a sister who can still produce a child for them? Saying that, and he is on a plant-based diet, and he's on his herbals and everything. So, hey, That is a great example of how we can preserve our bodies and the function of them if we just get our diets together. Also, Dr. Jewel Pookrum, beautiful sister, very informative. She, I'm not sure how old she is, but I know, I mean, she's definitely not a super young sister, but she's aging beautifully. I don't know what age she is. And a lot of times you can't tell what age a sister is because she looks great. But I know that she's an older, she's older now. So she, you know, but either way, she is beautifully aging. And I believe that she is also on a plant-based diet as well. Angela Bassett, she said several times that she ascribes her health, her fitness, her being able to, you know, her energy and everything to a plant-based diet. And I don't know if she still is now, but Angela Bassett was also raw. And so she ascribed all her health pretty much to her being a living vegan. Felicia Rashad is also a vegan and, you know, aging very gracefully. Cicely Tyson talks about being vegan as well. Vanessa Williams, plant-based. Angela Davis is, you know, always talks about being vegan, plant-based. Dick Gregory, of course, you know, he was one of the those people who many of, especially if you're listening to the show and you are an elder, you probably remember when Dick Gregory first came out and was promoting this kind of healthful plant-based eating or predominantly plant-based eating to our community, you know, and how he was able to help a lot of people turn their health around through, you know, just adopting those types of principles into their diet and getting out all the crap, basically. So all of these people consume a predominantly plant-based diet or a completely plant-based diet and have testified to how it helps them maintain their health. So just great examples, you guys. And I would suggest that people look at their stories, look at things that they've done to transition, you know, so that have somebody that is to you as you're transitioning, if you haven't already did it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to mention. Okay, I want to talk about vitamin C real quick because vitamin C is really important when it comes to aging gracefully. Vitamin C-rich foods. Vitamin C is necessary for the production of healthy skin, healthy nails, and hair. So for those of you who have noticed that as you age, your hair may be thinning, it may not be as lustrous, you know, it may be a little brittle, things of that nature, you may need to look at getting more vitamin C-rich foods into your diet. What vitamin C does in the body is that it's needed for collagen production. And collagen is what is lost as we age that produces those wrinkles that we don't like and that sagging skin that we don't like even more. So consume fresh sources of vitamin C like citrus fruits, of course, berries, bell pepper, hibiscus tea, melons. That's just to name a few. Pretty much any fruit and vegetable can have some vitamin C. But the ones that I mentioned are just going to be more abundant in vitamin C, and you can just consciously eat more of those to get all you need. But if you're eating a plant-based diet, you don't really need to worry about vitamin C unless you have a condition to where you need more vitamin C and you need to maybe supplement it. I wouldn't worry about it. Also, it's important as our bodies mature, consume mineral-rich foods to support healthy bone, tendon, and ligament function. So foods rich in minerals include our dark leafy greens, seed vegetables, nuts, seeds, and legumes, sesame seeds and their butter, which is called tahini, as well as turnip greens and kale are great, great sources of calcium and magnesium. And that's something that a lot of our elders are needing to get even more of because because of the longer time that you've been on the earth, your bones need more support because of the environmental toxins that try to leach minerals from the bones, creating problems with the bones. You know, you want to support that. You want to replenish that. So eating things like I mentioned, the tahini, turnip greens, kale, and other green leafy vegetables will really support your calcium and magnesium sources or reserves in the body. Also, many of those mineral-rich foods that I mentioned also contain fats, which are also necessary for a healthy natural aging. Fats are needed by the body to produce hormones, they're needed to produce enzymes, and they contribute to our skin integrity as well. And they nourish and protect the nervous system, which is prone to decline when we age if it is not taken care of. It doesn't have to decline, but it's prone to decline if we are not conscious about preserving it, you know, before that starts to happen. So consuming healthy fat sources will ensure that the body has what it needs. So as we age, none of those systems I mentioned will become deficient. So sources of healthy fats include flax seeds, chia seeds, walnuts, Brazil nuts, coconut, avocado, olive oil, sesame seed oil. All of those are great. And then there are, of course, different hemp seeds, hemp seed oil, all of that, black currant oil, you name it. There are whole bunches of different types of nuts, seeds, legumes, you know, fruits that contain healthy fats. Seed vegetables actually contain a lot of those fats too. And these fats are going to be your omega-3 fats, your healthy polyunsaturated, monounsaturated fats. You know, that's what's going to be in these foods that I mentioned. So you can add these oils and fat foods to your meals, you know, and the best thing you should do is to add them to meals daily so that you can get the best benefits over time. And this is especially useful for those who are caring for elders with degenerative diseases or dementia conditions because you need these fats to protect and to slow the degeneration of the nervous system. You can just add those things into their food, which can assist in their healing and their quality of life. So, and then also, as far as people caring for elders with these degenerative diseases or with dementia, any of these things, even if you're just living with a person who's older and they're not necessarily, you know, incapacitated, but, you know, you're concerned about their health, you can do small things, especially if you're making food for them. If you are caring for somebody, you can do things like smoothies. Smoothies are a great way, especially if somebody is stubborn with changing their diet and doesn't want to eat, like, you know, you make a nice, beautiful vegetarian meal for them and they don't want to eat it, then something else. Smoothies are a great way to incorporate all of these foods into their diet daily in a nice glass, you know, just in one glass or two glasses a day. Make a nice green smoothie, pack it full of kale, pack it full of, you know, berries, pack it full of, put a couple tablespoons of flaxseed oil or chia seeds or ground flaxseeds. You know, you can put, you know, a few oranges in there, some goji berries. You know, just pack a smoothie full of some of these foods that we mentioned and just give them a glass or two, I would say at least two a day. And that would be a great supplement to their diet. All the while, you're still trying to transition them into a more healthful diet that will support their bodies, you know. And you'll see benefit in this, you know. You'll see benefits in their health as you do this over time. Some other things I want to mention really quick are herbs. I can't talk about these without talking about herbs that can support healthy aging. Natural aging. Gotu Kola, I have to talk about because Gotu Kola is great for all of us, but especially for elders because it improves brain circulation. It actually has an affinity to the circulatory system in the head and to the brain. So because of that, Gotu Kola is great for supporting memory. It's great for supporting cognition. Gotu Kola also has an affinity to the skin and to the microcirculation of the skin. So it strengthens the skin. It strengthens the veins and the small vasculature because the tissue that makes up the lining of the inside of the vessels actually are made from cells that are similar to our skin cells, but they're, you know, they're a little different, but it's technically considered a type of a skin cell. So because Gotu Kola has an affinity for strengthening the skin integrity, it will also strengthen the integrity of the lining of vessels. So if there's any possible damage to vessels, people with varicose veins, people with poor circulation, people with any kind of vascular insufficiency, Goku Cola can help support in the healing of that. And it will also help to repair damaged skin, you know, all over the body, internally and externally. So making a tea, eating the Goku Cola leaf if it's fresh, putting the dried leaf in food, you know, you can do anything you want with that. And that can help support anybody that, even if you don't have a degenerative mental or a degenerative neurological problem, that can be used just to support your memory and to support your vascular system and things of that nature. If somebody is caring for an elder that has some kind of neurodegenerative issue, even if they have like neuropathy and things of that nature, you can use Goku Cola to support and supplement their diet after they're trying to heal from that condition. So Goku Cola is great. Hawthorn berry is the next thing I have on my list. Hawthorn berry just is a very good cardiovascular system tonic. It just really helps to tonify and support and strengthen and regulate the whole cardiovascular system. So I recommend this is something that you can take every day, you know, and it will help with, you know, blood pressure. It'll help with all of that. So a great herb for our elders to take every day. You can take it as a tea. They have different supplements that have hawthorn berry. You can rehydrate the berries and put them in smoothies. You can find hawthorn berry juice. You know, I recommend the tea. So, and then hawthorn berry and leaf can be used as this supplement. The next berry that I want to talk about is bilberry. Bilberry is like another one of those dark berries, like in the blueberry family, that supports blood sugar. It supports and nourishes the eyes, and it helps with night vision. So another great herb that you can consume daily that will support the health of those systems, even if you already are having problems with those systems, bilberry will be a great addition to the diet in order to bring it back into balance. The next herb I want to talk about is turmeric. Turmeric can be used as a food. It's best to be used as a food because turmeric requires fat, and it requires fat to be absorbed for one. And number two is because it also is best absorbed with black pepper. So you can put turmeric and make sure you're adding black pepper and some kind of oil into your food in order to absorb it more efficiently. Turmeric is extremely anti-inflammatory. It's anti-cancerous. It has been shown to help with plaques on the brain that are associated with Alzheimer's and other neurodegenerative diseases. Turmeric is just an awesome, awesome everyday herb that can be used all throughout the foods that you eat. So getting rid of inflammation, getting rid of acids in the body, it's very alkalinizing, very antioxidant. It's just it's pretty much a great tonic herb that you can use, especially well if you are an elder. Again, if you have somebody you're caring for, just add it to their food. Make sure you're adding some oil, make sure you're adding some black pepper, and give it to them daily to see if it helps with any degenerative issues that they have. It could also help with inflammation that causes pain, any kind of joint pain, any kind of pain, just because turmeric is so anti-inflammatory, it can help with that. Ginger is another great anti-inflammatory herb, and it's also very supportive to the digestive system. Ginger, again, can be used in food. It's best used in food. Just use it as a seasoning, and then you can put it in smoothies. You can put it in juice. You can get it fresh, dried, however you like it. You can make ginger tea and have a tea every day. And ginger also helps with circulation. So if you're an elder who gets cold a lot, or you are caring for an elder that gets cold a lot, ginger is a great addition to their diet to help with improving their circulation along with the digestive system, which are all needed to function properly in order for somebody to age gracefully. And that's pretty much all those herbs. I mean, I didn't want to get too crazy because you don't need to take a whole bunch of stuff if your diet is correct. So that's pretty much all I have for you. Now, if people have any questions or concerns, if they are interested in learning about how they can put elders in their family or for themselves onto a diet program that is specific to them, I do consultations for diet therapy programs. not just for elders, but for everyone. But because I'm talking about elders today, if you are interested in learning about how you can do a consultation with me for a food therapy program for an elder, you can contact me at ask, A, S as in Safflower, K, Dr., B as in Diamond, R, Adiro, A-D-I-R-O, at gmail.com. So ask Dr. Adiro at gmail.com, or you could go to my website, which is askdradiro.weebly.com. And I also have those herbs on my website that I talked about today, hawthorn, go-to cola, I have ginger. And if I don't have an herb on there that you want, then you can just email me and I can get it for you, because that's what I do. I'm like the herb doctor. I'm like one of the, I love it. So, you know, so ask me any questions, comments, concerns you had about the show, or if you get a question later and you want to ask me about a specific issue, don't hesitate to contact me. That's what I'm here for. So in the meantime, I hope that you were able to get as much from that as I was given. If you missed something, you can go back to the archives and listen to the show. But other than that, I mean, go out there and
wow.
get those elders healthy. Or if you are an elder,
yes.
stay healthy. Yes.
Stay healthy, Ashe. It looks like we do have a caller. Did you want to take the caller before?
Yes,
sure. Okay, let's see. Mm-hmm. Looks like this is area code 240. 240, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Jimothy calling from Washington, D.C., metropolitan area.
Greetings.
Thank you so
much. Greetings. How are you?
Pretty well. I've been listening for maybe about 20 minutes.
Okay.
It's extremely informative. I was wondering a little bit, you were talking about dark leafy greens and eating nuts because of the minerals and the iron that's inside of them. I've had a history of chronic kidney stones. So I've been told by physicians to kind of limit my intake of nuts and dark leafy greens because of oxalate.
Yes.
Would that possibly be a concern for someone who's prone to kidney stone formation?
There are certain. That's a really good question. I'm glad that you asked that. So, yes, there are certain leafy greens that contain more oxalates than others, spinach being one. This is not to scare anybody from eating greens, of course, because they're so good for you. But, yes, for example, spinach contains a lot of those oxalates that you don't want. So I would not recommend that you eat, like, a whole salad full of spinach. You know what I mean? And as far as other leafy greens, the eating of those greens in their raw also heightens the amount of oxalates. When you cook them, and you don't have to cook them to death. You can just steam them. And then adding to it things like an acid, like a lime juice or a lemon juice, or if you want to use like an apple cider vinegar or something like that, that also helps with breaking down those oxalate compounds. And also the oils, like if you were to eat some steamed kale or sautéed kale or something, and you were to add your oils to it, that also helps with breaking down some of those and deactivating those oxalates. Some other things you can do, if you are eating greens, things that help with getting those out of your system so that you don't form the crystals, the oxalate crystals in the body, is to consume like berry juices or eating juices that have berries in them. So things like you can make like a blueberry and like an apple juice. Like mixing them, or you can eat them in a smoothie. So you kind of want to balance it. This is why variety in the diet is so important, because if you're just eating one type of leafy green, like if it's just kale, or spinach, you're going to develop an accumulation of those constituents in your body if you are prone to stones. But if you are mixing it up and you're getting a variety of different ones, like you're eating a salad full of different types of greens, then you don't have to worry about it as much. And then, of course, you're eating other foods besides greens. You shouldn't have to worry about it, you see. So variety, and then if you are very susceptible to kidney stones, you can steam them a little bit and break it down so it's not so raw. too.
Thank you, Doc. Am I still on the line?
Oh, yeah,
yes,
you're still here.
Okay. I have one more question, and if it's a little bit too far to the left field, just let me know. But maybe about up until 5 years ago, I was like a heavy wine drinker. I did dark wines. And then maybe up until like 2 years ago, I was like a fairly heavy water drinker, but it was faucet water. So water from municipalities. About 2 years ago, I started reading a little bit more, and I started understanding that municipal water, they use chlorine to clean their water, and wine is like really concentrated with chlorine. You were talking about the accumulation of environmental toxins that can leach other minerals from your body. Is chlorine also like one of those toxins where it can accumulate in your body? And if so, how can we avoid, what should we really avoid to avoid high accumulation of chlorine in our body?
Yes, chlorine, absolutely. Chlorine doesn't stick around the way that other things do. It actually is pretty water soluble. So it will actually, you can eliminate chlorine each day. If you would have taken chlorine one day, then you should eliminate it by the next day. But it does have some fat. It does have some affinity to our fat, but it's eliminated fairly quickly. But the way that you avoid chlorine, for one, is not drinking tap water. That's good that you don't drink that anymore, because that's tap water, unfortunately, in most parts of the country, it's just the worst water you can drink, period. So a good way to avoid chlorine is to not drink tap water. And also, swimming in pools is another way people absorb chlorine. If you swim in, public pools that are chlorinated, that's another way that people get most of their chlorine. So if you're not doing those things, you really don't have to worry about consuming chlorine, because you're not in the sources or consuming the sources, the larger sources. Now, as far as getting it out of your body, keeping it out of your body, pretty much it's going to go away once you stop consuming the offensive water that's tainted with the chlorine. If you feel that you are not eliminating it, you can do things like eating more of those antioxidant-rich foods that I mentioned, the berries, the citrus, the more watery, B vitamin-rich foods like the melons, watermelon. And then, of course, your green leafy vegetables are going to assist your liver in neutralizing any toxin. And it's going to assist your liver in cleaning the blood out that contains any toxin. So really, you don't have to worry about chlorine accumulation too much unless you know that you're drinking sources of it.
Thank you. That answered both the questions I had. Thank you, sisters.
No problem at all. And thank you. Thank you for your question, because those are really good questions.
They really were. I just learned some new things. Wow. So, yes, thanks for calling, King. And for those of you who are out there listening, I hope you got some information that you can utilize and switch some things up in your diet, pass this information on to the elders so they can, keep thriving in their health, and also incorporate some of these things into your health so that you can age gracefully.
Absolutely.
So I do appreciate all of the information you brought to the show today. And for those of you who are listening, if you didn't catch the whole thing, you can always go back into the archives and replay the show and get all of the information. Make sure you pass it along to others as well. And like Sis said, can you please give them your web address one more time for those who may want to go and get some of the herbs that you mentioned?
No problem.
Those are some key things that a lot of people need, because herbs are some of the best things you can use for your body.
Absolutely. Yes. So my website again is Ask Dr. Adiro, A-S as in safflower, K, D-R, D as in diamond, R, A-D-I-R-O .Weebly, B as in boy, ly.com. So go to my website there, and you can look at my products, And then I also, like I said, have a community marketplace where I have other supplements that are available from other distributors that I research and that I like that give you products that I don't necessarily make. But, of course, you know, my products are always the bomb because I hand make them myself, you know. And then I also have bulk herbs that you can get to make your teas, to grind up yourself, whatever. So just check that out. And like I said, if you have any questions or concerns about consultations, appointments, you have anything that you need, you can always email me at askdradiro@gmail.com. And that's my personal email that you can contact me at. So, yes.
Wow. Thank you. And also, like our like page at Food for Medicine on Facebook, and says give them your practice like page as well so they can check
Yes. My practice like page on Facebook is called Nkingu, N as in nighttime, apostrophe, K-I-N as in nighttime, G-U, health, Nkingu Health. And that's on Facebook. Just type that into the search. If not, you can find me on Facebook at Acevia Duro. I'm on Facebook, and then you can usually find my practice page through that. But, in Kingu Health, and then I update it all the time. I put my blog on there. So check it out. Like it for sure.
Mm-hmm. And what does Nkingu mean, sis?
So Nkingu is an adaptation from the Bantu, or I want to say the Kikongo, concept called Nkingu Nyazingu Ye Moyo, which is Kikongo for the principles of life, living, and vitality. So I just adapted Nkingu from that, which means the fundamental truths of life and living. So my practice, the tenets, the principles of how I approach medicine, which is always traditional, which is always backed by ancestral tradition, is that if I facilitate, because this is something I'm not educating anybody, I'm just a facilitator, and people remembering those fundamental principles to living healthfully, you know, that's all I do with my practice. And then I also use, you know, the herbs and the diet just to support those principles in people's lives. So if you come to me, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get educated, and you're going to get supported in living in those foundational principles that support health and living. So
that's cool. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again, King, for calling in. And sis, like I said, you did a phenomenal job, and hopefully everyone else can walk away feeling empowered about their health and wellness from this show. Now, we are here every Friday, and you do not want to miss. And if you have missed out on past shows, please go into our archives. You can also visit us at dynastynetwork.net and check out Food for Medicine, and you can check out our whole podcast from when we first started. And this is actually our second year anniversary, so I just want to say that because I did not say that at the beginning of the show, but happy anniversary, sis. This has been awesome.
Happy anniversary.
This has been a very exciting information filled 2 years doing Food for Medicine. And I know a lot of our listeners and family out there appreciate what is done on this platform. And I really appreciate you, my sister. When I first met you, I had no clue we were going to be doing this, but this is one of the best things I've done thus far. And
wonderful.
I do appreciate all of the information you bring, my sister. So happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. And it's my pleasure. It's always my pleasure to bring information that I'm passionate about to my community because I love y'all. I love y'all.
Yes, I love y'all. We love you. We love you. We do this for you and for us. Okay, wow, sis. Well, I will see you next week. And family, thanks again for listening. And we will see you next Friday. Peace and my love.
All right, sounds like a plan. Peace, family.
Dynasty Radio 1382.